Every pastor, I think, wants to preach earth-shattering messages with new and interesting insights, and today's message is not going to be that. I think in the Bible, when you see in the pastoral epistles and other places where we are told over and over to remind people of truths in the Bible because it's so easy for us to forget. I think today we're going to look at some truths, probably not anything that you've not heard before, but I think it's going to be a good reminder for each and every one of us today. Actually, we don't have a direct passage to turn to, but I'm going to start off just with an introduction, and before we do that, I'd like to just ask for the Lord's blessing on the time that we have this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here, to be able to be gathered together as a body of believers, to worship you through song, to worship you through the study of your word, to worship you in edifying and building one another up. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would work in our hearts and lives today. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, use the truth of your word to encourage and grow us in the ways that we need to be. We pray and ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story in the Bible that has always interested me, and it's the story that was read in the scripture reading earlier about Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira were people in the early church who, when they were donating all of their worldly goods to the church so that people could live, they decided that they wanted to look good like everyone else, and they wanted to give a large sum of money. But at the same time, they still wanted their own financial security, and so they devised this plan where they could keep half of the money, give half of the money, and they'd still look good, but they still had something within their own control that they could hold on to. This dishonest act that they decided upon led to their destruction because they lied to the Holy Spirit, and both of them were punished in a very definitive way. This morning, we're going to talk about honesty when it comes to money, because each and every one of us deals with, uses, interacts with money, and we're faced with a choice whether or not to be honest or to be dishonest. And so that each and every one of our dealings can be right, can be Christ-like, in line with what God's word says, we need to make sure that we are honest when dealing with money. If I were to give you one idea, one thought for this morning, it would be honesty is essential in dealing with money. You say, but how do we know how we should act or what we should do? Well, let's look at some scripture verses this morning. By the way, if you're a person who likes to take notes, actually, I think the notes are on the back of the bulletin already. We're going to look at 5 different points this morning. Honesty is essential when it comes to money because, number one, God is a God of honesty. Point number two, it's essential because God commands us to be honest. Number three, honesty is essential when it comes to money because God blesses the honest and he curses the dishonest. Number four, honesty is essential because God is preparing us for a greater future and our faithfulness with money is going to prepare us for where he wants us to go. And number five, honesty is a part of our new nature. Now today we're going to look at several different scripture verses under each point. Some of them deal specifically with honesty with money, and some of them deal with just the topic of honesty or being just or right or good. But we're going to apply all of them to being honest in the way that we deal with money. Number one, God is a God of honesty. Deuteronomy, and you'll have to forgive me, I'm going to be shuffling some pages around up here. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, and the verse is on the screen, so I'm just going to read it. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just or right or honest, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." See, one of the characteristics of God is that he is honest, he is true. God is not a God that is deceptive, or he's not a God like the gods that were worshipped by people in Greece and Rome, where they're nasty and they're tricking people all the time and deceiving people. The God that we serve, the God of the Bible, is a God who is honest, a God of truth. Let's look at the next verse, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 11. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, 11, "Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his works. God is not a God, again, who is somebody who's trying to trick you, who has a scale with false weights on it. The weights and the scales are the Lord's, and all the weights in the bag are His. In other words, they take on His nature or His character. They are honest and true. Let's look again at the third verse before we move on to our second point. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 23, the Bible says, "Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good." This verse really took me back because there are certain sins in the Bible that are called an abomination. And I don't think having dishonest weights is one that I would have ever guessed the Lord would use the word an abomination to speak about. But look what He says. Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord. Why is that? Because God is a God of truth. God is a God who is honest. And this is something that goes against His very character, who God is. And if we're first going to be people who are honest when it comes to money, we need to see and understand that, first of all, God is an honest God. He is a God of truth. And if we are going to be like Him, we need to be honest in our dealings with money. Let's move on to the second point and see that God specifically, so first we see God is a God that is honest. He's a God of honesty. But now let's look and see that God also commands us to be honest in our dealings. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 11. Leviticus 19, number 11 says this: "You should not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another." What is He saying? You can't steal from somebody. You can't deal falsely. You can't trick someone. You can't just purposely say something from your mouth that is not true. In your dealings with people, you need to be honest. Now, you and I know, just a little anecdotal story. Before I got married, which my wife and I have been married for almost 5 years, I could never understand why married guys were always talking about having to lie to their wives. And then I got married, and I realized the fear that gripped my heart when my wife would ask me certain questions. And I go, oh, wow, this is a big temptation to be dishonest, you know? Does this make me look fat? Well, I don't know how to answer that. It's sometimes very easy for us to find reasons to be dishonest. But God clearly tells us that you shouldn't steal, you should not deal falsely, nor lie to one another. In our dealings with money, even if it's going to hurt us, even if it's something that we don't want to happen, we need to be honest, and He commands us to be honest. Let's look and see another verse. We're actually going to see that He tells us we should have just weights in our scales. Again, several of these verses repeat the idea and the thought, and I'm just giving them to you to see how many times this is stated or this idea is coming up in the text of Scripture. Leviticus 19:36 says, "You shall have honest scales, honest weights, an honest ephah, and an honest hin." All of those are units of measure. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." The idea in this text is you should do all of these things and have all of these honest weights. Why? Because Jehovah is our God, and He brought the children of Israel out of the land of Israel. If He's God and He can do that for them, you need to be honest, and you need to make sure all of these weights are honest. Not trying to trick people to have a weight that's supposed to be this amount, but really on the inside, it's got something really heavy inside to make it more than what it should be so that you can trick someone in the weighing of certain items. Let's look at Deuteronomy 25, verse 15. Deuteronomy 25, 15 says, "You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This is another verse where God is tying being honest or being just in our dealings with money to His blessing. I want you to notice what the verse says. In the first half, it says, "You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land." You have to understand, the children of Israel were told by God that when they came into the land, this land that was flowing with milk and honey, that was to be a blessing to them, if they were going to stay in the land and enjoy God's blessing, they had to do what was right. And if they were going to do what was wrong, they were going to incur God's wrath and be cursed. And God is specifically tying this idea of being honest and staying in the land for an extended period of time to those promises because he wants them to understand this is really important that you be honest. He says you shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure. Why? That your days may be lengthened in the land, that God can bless you and you can stay in this land. And then the last verse we're going to look at under this point, Ezekiel 45, verse 10. Ezekiel 45, verse 10. Or actually, that was a verse I added in my notes. We're not even going to do that one. We're going to skip over that one and go to point number 3. So we've seen, first of all, God is an honest God. Number 2, we see that God commands us to be honest in our dealings with money. But number 3, I want us to look and see some verses in the Bible where God blesses the honest and God curses the dishonest. He blesses the honest and curses the dishonest. If you say, okay, God is an honest God and he's telling us to be honest, what's a little dishonesty? What does it matter? The other person's never going to find out. I'm really good at this. Nobody's ever going to catch me. Well, the God who sees all and knows all, the God who will judge us, not only according to our actions, but also the thoughts and the intents of our heart, the God who sees all, he is going to judge us according to what he knows. And if we're honest, we will receive blessing. And if we're dishonest, we'll receive cursing. Let's look first and see a verse, a passage, Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 through 16. And I'm going to have to, I think, turn there in my notes because I didn't put it. Oh, yes, I did put it in there. You guys have to forgive me. I had to change my sermon. And that's why things seem a little bit disorganized. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 13 through 16 say, "You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land," again, blessing, "which the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously are an abomination to the Lord your God." In that verse, he includes both blessing for doing what is right and cursing for doing what is wrong. But the blessing is you'll be able, the children of Israel, to stay in the land of blessing that God has for you. Let's move on now and see a passage of Scripture where he talks about cursing. So honesty is essential when it comes to dealing with money because God, yes, he blesses those who are honest, but he also curses those who are dishonest. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 1, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 through 3, he says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." Notice, dishonesty, abomination, just weight is God's delight. "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." And again, these verses are in context. So what he's saying is, look, if you're going to have dishonest scales, which are abomination to the Lord, okay, that pride that's going to lead you to sin, it's going to bring shame. And the integrity of the upright is going to guide those who are doing what is right, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. If you're going to have a dishonest scale, it's ultimately going to lead to destruction in our lives. So, yes, God will bless, but yes, God will also curse if we are going to be dishonest in our dealings, specifically even in our dealings with money. Let's move on now to point number 4. Honesty is essential when it comes to money. Yes, because God is a God of honesty and he commands us to be honest. And yes, because he'll bless us or curse us, but also because God is preparing us for a greater future. I think one of the interesting things about being a Christian is that the things that we go through in this life aren't significant because of this life, but it's always preparation for what God has for us in the future. Yes, God is preparing us for things that come up and happen in life, but our ultimate goal is not just to sit on clouds in heaven, but to rule and reign with our Savior throughout all of eternity. The spiritual struggles and the things that we learn in this life are preparation not just for now, but they are preparation for an eternity where we will be able to serve with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when we look at this passage in Luke chapter 16, I'm going to pick up, and I'm going to turn there, in Luke chapter 16, I'm going to pick up in verse number 10, which is just ahead of what I asked to be put on the slides. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse number 10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" I just want to stop real quick and I just want to explain these verses as he's saying. What he's basically saying is, look, you have these things in life in time. And he's saying if you're going to be faithful in that which is small, you'll also be faithful in that which is great. By the way, I'm in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, if you're trying to follow along in the passage of Scripture. And it says that he that is unjust in the least shall also be unjust in much. So this is a very simple concept. If I give you a little bit and you do good with it, you're going to do great when I give you a lot. And the idea and the picture of this passage is if God gives us a little bit in time, and we are faithful with it, what he will give to us in eternity that is great, we will also be faithful with what it is that he's going to give to us. So as he goes on in verse number 12, and I'm going to get to verse number 13 here, he says in verse number 12, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And what he is saying here very simply is you cannot serve God and you cannot serve the things of this world. If you're going to do good with something that's least, you're going to do good with something great. And if you're going to serve the world and mammon, you're not going to serve God. And God wants people that are wholly given over to him, who are faithful to what he wants them to do. And why is that important? It's important because of the future God has for each and every one of us. One day, the money that's in my wallet, which is not very much, and I'm sure the same thing is true of you, the money that we have, it's not going to matter. But what we have done with that money and how we have treated it, if we follow the commands that God has given us and we are in right relation with God, doing what he wants us to do with that money, one day in the kingdom, God will be able to say, "You were faithful with 10 talents. Now I'm going to say, rule over 10 cities." And God is having us to be faithful and honest with money now in preparation for what he has for us in the future. Finally, point number 5, honesty is essential in dealing with money because honesty is a part of our new nature. If you look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, you'll see that he says in Colossians 3, 9, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." This is a great verse of Scripture. He says, look, you shouldn't lie to one another. Why shouldn't you lie? Because you've put off the old man. You've put off that old nature, and now you've put on a new nature. And so now it is a part of who you are to be honest. Lying isn't the way you're going to operate anymore. It might be easy. It might be a quick fix. It might be what you just have a pattern of doing, but it's not who you are anymore. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 essentially tells us the same truth. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, this entire passage in which this verse is set, he's giving contrasting ideas of this is something you should put off, and this is something that you should put on. And he says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Because we're all a part of the same body, we need to be honest with one another. Lying is no longer an option for us, and the same is true in our dealings with money. We can't be deceptive, we can't be dishonest. We need to be truthful in dealing with one another, because that is what is our new nature. That is what God has created us to be and to become. Now, as we've gone through all of this information, we see that God wants us to be honest in dealing with money. Number one, because God is a God of honesty. He calls us to be honest just as he is. He tells us we should have just weights and just measures, and that we should be truthful in how we interact with one another in our dealings with money. Even so, more than this, it's important for us to be honest because God will bless us, and God will bless us for being honest, and he will curse us or punish us, judge us, if I can talk, for being dishonest. So what does that mean for you and me, the so what factor? What does this mean for our lives? Well, the main question is, will you and I choose to be honest? Each and every one of us, as people who are saved, those of us who are believers, we are freed from the power of sin, and we have to make a choice day after day of how we are going to live. When we're faced with the fact that we have a choice where we can be dishonest and probably no one will ever catch on, are we going to be honest or are we going to choose to be dishonest? That is the choice that we're going to be faced with every day, every time it comes up, and that is what we have to ask ourselves and even decide today is, am I just going to make the decision that I'm always going to be honest? Maybe it's going to cost me more than I want to pay. Maybe it's going to be harder than I'd like it to be. Maybe my pride is going to suffer if I have to be honest and admit that I'm wrong. But will you be honest? Not only that, if you're going to be honest, are you going to be that person who chooses to be blessed by God because you're honest and truthful and just? Or are you going to decide that you want to invite God's cursing on your life? And with all those things said, I want to read a passage of Scripture to you in Exodus chapter 23. I didn't put this in my notes, so it's not going to be on the screen. In Exodus chapter 23. Just going to read a few verses to you in Exodus chapter 23. The Bible says in Exodus 23, verse 1, and I am reading out of the Old King James, "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do either evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest or twist judgment to pervert it. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause." In other words, you're not going to go with the strong group or the majority to pervert justice, but you're also not going to show favor to the person that's poor just because he's poor. You're going to be true and you're going to be right. Verse number 4, "If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of the poor in his cause." Why is that? Why does he say these things? Because each and every one of us needs to be honest in our dealings, even with the people that we don't like. Notice it says here, if you see, and of course this is agrarian culture, you see here in this time in Exodus, where if you see the person that hates you, your enemy, if you see his animal has gotten loose and it has a burden that's weighing it down, you can't just ignore what you've seen. Maybe nobody else sees you. You still need to do something about it, even though this person is the person that hates you. Why? Because we are to be honest, we are to be just, we are to do what is right. So this morning I ask you, will you be honest in general, and will you be honest when it comes to dealing with money and in business? I hope that you will today. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing us to be here today. I thank you, Lord, that you have challenged us to be honest in our dealings with money. Lord, I know that for each and every one of us, we are tempted in different ways. Some people, being dishonest is a stronger temptation than others, but each and every one of us is commanded to be honest in our dealings. Help us, Heavenly Father, to make the choice and to follow through with actions, to be honest and to do what is right as you would have us do. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless the people that are here today. Bless Rose of Sharon Baptist Church. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to shed your goodness and your mercy on them. We pray and ask all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.